Join us now for Call to Worship, dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by Zion Chapel.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice.
From the Call to Worship broadcast archives.
Sing them over again to me. Wonderful words of life. Let me more of their beauty see. Wonderful words of life. Words of life and beauty. Teach me faith and duty. Beautiful words. Wonderful words. Wonderful words of life.
Sing them over again to me. Wonderful words of life, let me more of their beauty see. Wonderful words of life, words of life and beauty, teach me faith and duty. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Gives to all wonderful words of life. Sinners listen to the loving call, wonderful words of life. Also freely given, wooing us to heaven. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words.
Reading from God's Holy Word, as we find in the Gospel of John, chapter 8, beginning to read at verse 36. If the Son, therefore, shall set you free, you shall be free indeed. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and you do that which you have seen with your father. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, If you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. You do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, We be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God. Jesus said unto them, If God were your Father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar, and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because you are not of God. What solemn words those are from Christ to those before him in his audience. Let's give thanks for them. All scripture is given for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness. Let's pray that we will receive that from this portion of God's holy word. Our Father, we come to thee through Christ Jesus. We come giving thanks in his name. We pray that we may not be left to believe lightly of him or his words, as these of whom we read did, and had to be so strongly spoken to and described in that very sad and solemn way and place. Children of their father, the devil. We acknowledge, Father, that we all have our beginning there, and we pray that we who profess to believe may not be in error as they were, but that we may have believed to the saving of our soul, that we may have believed rightly, as John could write, to as many as received him, the Lord Jesus, to them thou, Father, didst give power to become thy sons, thy children, even to those who believed on his name. Help us to see, Lord Jesus, that thou art the only way, truth, and life. We pray this in thy name, for thy Spirit to teach us and to lead us into all truth, to reprove us first where we need that, to bring us to repentance as they needed it, to continue in the word until there is that right repentance, that agreement with thee, that submission to thee. And we pray that thou would bring us to that we see it, that we do it. We pray, Father, that we may not be left in blindness. We pray for thy blessing on all of the church. We pray that thou wilt use the church mightily again, reviving it in every nation. We pray also, Father, that the church may be added to, even daily, such as should be saved, as we can read of in thy holy word after the days of Pentecost. We pray for these things first of all and most of all, for thy glory, for the upbuilding of thy kingdom, for the good of the world. We pray also, Father, for the needs that are temporal. We pray for those in sickness and injury, for those in hunger, the homeless, the war-torn lands, those in lonesomeness and sorrow, those in older age, the broken homes, the children in those homes, the schools. We pray for the police, the soldiers, all these needs that are there. We pray that thou meet them all through Christ and give thanks in his name. Amen. As we continue this narrative at this time and place about the middle of the ministry of Christ, there are many things spoken by John of earlier audiences and later as well. But here we have an audience that heard the message of the Lord Jesus, and we read, as he spake these words, many believed on him. We read that in the 30th verse. We began to read today in verse 36, a little further into this 8th chapter of John. He had then told those who did believe to continue in the word. They did not see the necessity of that. They did not see themselves in the need of why they had to continue in the word. As the Lord Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples? You will know the truth. The truth will set you free. Every one of us must be set free. We are all born in bondage. George Whitefield, the evangelist of the 1700s, said we have to see original sin. We're all guilty of that with Adam. We would have done the same as Adam did if we had been there. We can't just blame Adam. We, with him, would do those things contrary to God. He said also we had to see our actual sins, those that we do today. We break God's holy law. We come short of loving him, of loving our neighbor as ourselves. And he stated also that we had to see the sin of unbelief. And that is true. Even though these people here were described as many believed on him, they only believed part of what he said. And that is a terrible danger, a terrible one. It's probably worse than not believing at all. I've talked to people that don't believe, don't care. They just say, I got friends in hell. I don't care if I go there. But when there are people who say, I'm going to heaven, but don't have from the scripture what they need, that is more dangerous, more deceiving. In the time of Jeremiah in the Old Testament, we read they cried, peace, peace, when there was no peace, and the people loved to have it so. They thought, this is true. We'll tell each other that it is a peaceable way for us before God. We have the temple. We are part of it. But Jeremiah said, don't say, this is the temple of the Lord. It was no longer the place of God's presence. God's anger was coming upon that people, and it did show itself sometime later in the terrible, terrible destruction of Jerusalem, the temple, the people. It was awful, as Daniel later described it, the awfulness of that calamity on Jerusalem. It followed later, again, the second time, AD 70. Jerusalem again was flowing with blood. As Christ said, before time, not one stone will be left upon another. Those judgments have fallen. That people was under God's judgment for a long, long time. Now there has been some blessing in their returning to their land. And some don't want that, but all of us must submit to the Word of God, and we must all submit to God himself and to those that he has put in authority in every nation. As Paul wrote to the church at Rome, those that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. That will come from God. Beware. That's why we need his word. We need what we sang. Wonderful words of life. 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 If there's no life, what is there? Death. That's all. My dear wife had 85 years of life, and then death came, and it's death. Physical death is natural, and it will come to all of us. But spiritual death is worse. We are born spiritually dead, and we will continue spiritually dead until we are delivered by God himself through and because of Christ, by his word, by his Spirit, paid for on the cross by Christ dying and shedding his blood. But we must be taught. You must know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. If the Son shall set you free, you shall be free indeed. His way is through the truth of his word. He hadn't paid the price here yet at this time, but now he has paid the price on the cross. But that will not experimentally set us free until there is a believing in Christ, a believing on Christ, a believing in the only true God and his Son, Jesus Christ. And I want to state that very, very emphatically. There's no other way. There's none other name given under heaven among men whereby we can be saved. And if we're not saved, we're lost. If we're not brought to life, we stay in death. Everyone, everyone, everyone. Yes, as we said last week, there are those who want another way, a different way. John the Baptist spoke against it when he said, "Say not unto yourselves, we have Abraham to our father." That's not true. Not God's way. These people said, we read in verse 39, they answered and said unto him, "Abraham is our father." Jesus said unto them, "If you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham." Earlier in the ministry of Christ, he said, "By their fruits you shall know them." They wouldn't gain life by their fruits. It's not by our works. But it proves we have life from God when we do those works. He said, "You would do the works of Abraham, the same as Abraham." Some of those works come out of the words of our mouth. If we go back to the 6th chapter of the Gospel of John, we read there, the question was asked, verse 28, "What shall we do that we might do the works of God?" Jesus answered and said unto them, "This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he has sent." I remember one person who wanted to emphasize that this is the work that God does. This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he has sent. In one way, that is true. It is the work of his Spirit. But in actuality, in our experience, I don't believe it is, first of all, teaching that. It is teaching that we come to believe on him whom God has sent. And these people here were not doing that. They believed some of his words, but they did not believe on him in fullness as prophet, priest, and king. As Isaiah had said, "Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father." We see the argument ensuing in a sad way throughout this chapter, after it had such a good beginning. But it did not continue. "If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Truth. Spoken word from God. Word believed by us in our heart. "The truth shall make you free." Yes, it is the truth as God works it by his Spirit, but he works it by his Spirit, as Paul wrote to the church at Rome, "Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." When Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus, he wrote these words, "By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." There again, faith. But faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That is plainly taught. It has to be a hearing and a doing to be the right kind of hearing, but the hearing is the way God saves us. Paul writes also to the church at Rome, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Before that, he had described the message of the law and the prophets, all the way back to Moses and all others that wrote between that time of Moses and of Christ, and later of Paul. It is God's good way. Wonderful words of life. "Sing them over again to me." Yes. We read in the Psalms oft times, sing, sing, sing. It's one of the things we do when we are set free. David, who was in a horrible pit, bound, helpless, hopeless. He gives those words in Psalm 40. He said, I cried to the Lord, and he took me out, and he set my feet upon a rock and put a new song in my mouth. Praise. Hear, even learning. Sing them over again to me. Wonderful words of life. I think of different songs. Tell me the story of Jesus. Write on my heart every word. Oh, wonderful words they are. They give life. They give light. They give salvation. They give forgiveness. They give a pardon. They give adoption into the family of God that we can say, Abba, Father, my Father, as we read it in Romans chapter 8. All of that is God's blessed way through and because of Christ, the way of a new life. Yes, new, with God before that, as Christ had to say to them so plainly. Verse 38, the last part of that verse, you do that which you have seen with your father. Seen. They actually didn't see Satan, but they saw his works and others, the generation before, others at the same time. And now they were doing it themselves. A little bit later, Christ said, verse 44, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. All through this, Christ made it very plain that they were doing those wicked deeds of Satan. When God saved the people at Ephesus, he gave this message to them later by Paul when he wrote to them. He said, you who were dead in trespasses and sin, dead in sin, dead to sin, dead to guilt, dead to righteousness, dead in sin and trespasses, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Two ways are described there. One is the way of Satan himself, the prince of the power of the air, and the other is the children of disobedience. Others round about them, others of the past, they were part of that. It's sometimes described as the world. Satan is the god of this world. We don't see him, but we see his works in others. And until we're delivered and set free, as Christ is speaking of here, others see his works in us. It might be in a way of deceit. It might be in a way of hypocrisy. It might be in a way of openness. Some don't care. I don't care. There is even so-called Satan worship. These people didn't want to acknowledge it, that Christ was speaking to here in John 8. They wouldn't admit it. They said, we have Abraham to our father. And not only that, they said, we have one father, even God. While they were children of Satan, they said, we have one father, even God. That comes out of a heart that, as Jeremiah wrote, is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. It comes out of a heart that's very, very proud. And that was the problem here. They were in pride. They said, we were never in bondage. Christ said, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. It's not only terrible when we sin, the danger is there. We'll continue in sin if we're not delivered. We'll become the servant of sin. Like I've said before, it brings us in its bondage. Like smoking, drugs, drink. When we start, as someone said, telling them to quit, it's hard. We become servants of it. And here Christ said, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. It blinds. Pride blinds when we will not acknowledge it, when we do not admit it. Even as Christians, we can be in that blindness. The church at Laodicea was in blindness. Thou sayest thou art rich, in need of nothing, knowest not. Thou art poor, wretched, miserable, naked, blind to it. So blind, they said, we're rich. We're in a good place in this church. I'm afraid there are too many there today. Have not had the beginning that Christ is speaking of here. The beginning that is a right beginning with continuance. With continuance in not only hearing the word, but believing the word to such a way that it brings us to repentance. That was Christ's first message, as we see it recorded in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 4. Christ began to preach and say, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Yes, there is a slight danger that people repent of certain things and then are satisfied and say, I changed my life, now I'm all right, trusting in their works. But if there is true repentance, as Christ was speaking of it here, servant of sin, continuing till we actually know we have been set free by God, free by a pardon, forgiveness, receiving Christ. Repentance, as Peter said on the day of Pentecost, repent ye and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. As I said earlier today, we can say, Abba, Father, because the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we have become children of God. Yes, become, not always there, become children of God by receiving Christ. To as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the children of God. We need that great blessing that is taught in the wonderful words of life.
To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, visit their website at calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship, sponsored by Zion Chapel.
Praise the Lord.